Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We talk every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. with our guests here on this program, which is streamed live on the internet at richarddugan.com. That's Richard, R-I-C-H-A-R-D, Dugan, D-U-G-A-N.com. You can hear previous programs by going to the radio show's link. It's on the front page. Actually, that link is on every page. And you can also check out our schedule of upcoming guests for the programs, and we encourage you to do so and check out their websites. My website is not the place where you will find the information about my guests. The link on my website will take you to their website and their information. No need for me to duplicate the information that's already been quite well put together on a given website. We come your way every Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m., and we encourage you to email richard@richarddugan.com. Love to hear from you. Love to have some of your ideas, even guest ideas, as well as subject ideas. Let me know what you think of the program, and we encourage you to do that again, richard@richarddugan.com. Today's program is a special program because we're going to be talking with a return visitor to our microphones via the phone lines. Although my understanding is she's going to be darn close to us in October, and it would be great if she were coming up to the Santa Barbara area, and who knows, maybe we could have her on the program again. But pardon me as I get a little choked up over my guest, PMH Atwater. Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Oh, it's a thrill to be back.
I tell you what, you have had some experiences in your life that we're going to talk a little bit about. And we're also going to focus primarily today on what is called, what you refer to as either the children of the new millennium or the new children. And we're going to define what that is and how that's different, or is it, from the indigo children. But what I'd like to have our listeners know about first is that there is a conference that's going on in mid-October that you are going to be at in San Diego, California. It's the Near Death Experience Conference, the 16th and 17th of October, Transformed in the Light, Helping Humanity with Enhanced Abilities After Near-Death Experiences. And what that sounds like to me, as you have certainly described it to us in the past, is that somehow, some way, people who have these near-death experiences all seem to have these abilities, almost like this television program Heroes, where, you know, each individual has a rather unique ability. One guy can stop time, and another can go invisible, and another one can hear people's thoughts as they're thinking. And if they didn't censor themselves, they would speak what they say. Well, he can hear them, and on and on and on. I don't know that it quite goes quite that far, but it's a rather interesting thing. And you're going to be at this conference.
Yes, yes, indeed I am. I'm presenting a paper and heading up a panel and another workshop and on and on and on. What's really, really wonderful about this conference, and I want to just quickly say that,
yes,
to sort of plug the conference, October 16, 17, in the San Diego area. And of course, you know, they want to find out about it. It's www.iands.org.
Mm-hmm.
They can find out all about it there. Is that we're finally going to be talking about the enhanced abilities after near-death experience. Do you know that in the first decade after research began on this phenomenon called the near-death phenomenon, and it began in 1975. So up until about the middle of the 1980s, no one dared link psychic abilities, intuitive abilities, healing abilities, the ability to know the future and so forth and so on with near-death experiences. It was considered taboo.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was considered taboo because the researchers were afraid, you know, they would, the public and other researchers would think of near-death research as flaky when it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a taboo topic. And I got in trouble because I didn't know that. So my first book, Coming Back to Life, I talked about this. So this is the first conference now. Now, this is over 30 years, 30 years later. This over 30 years later. This is our first conference that is centered solely around that topic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have come so far.
Yeah.
So well, now we're tackling it.
Well, I can tell you that if you were to track the history of, say, chiropractic and how long it took to become part of the mainstream and have its conferences and so forth, in a way, I'm kind of not surprised, but it's a surprise, a wonderful surprise that you're going to be participating in this conference along with a Charles Tart PhD, transpersonal psychologist and author of The End of Materialism. Really? Okay, then there'll be Jeffrey, and this is Mishlov. He's a PhD. He's president of the Institute, the Intuition Network, author of The Roots of Consciousness. There'll be researchers panel, and of course, most prolific NDE author. It says here PMH Atwater, LHD. What's LHD stand for?
I got my doctorate in the Letters of the Humanities.
Ah, okay. There'll be also childhood NDE author Melvin Morse, MD, and then CEUs available for behavioral and social sciences. Interesting. And apparently there's also a little added bonus on the 15th if you're able to get there on October the 15th.
Yeah.
There'll be a bonus of that's going to be called Healing Arts Day. So again,
yeah, they're going to actually display the healing arts and people can get readings or take part in sessions.
And you can go again to IANDE, that's the International
DS.
IANDS. And that's N as in Nancy or Near Death. And then .org. So we'll be giving that out again. What we're going to talk about today, and we will mention this again near the end of the program so that people can check it out. We're going to talk in this program about the new children. Now, I have to say, as I was thinking about this, PMH Atwater, I was starting to feel a little inferior, like I was born in the wrong century at the wrong time. I should have been born 20 or 30 years later. We'll find out as we continue on in our program here when these children were born, are being born, will be born, who they are, what they are, get all of the particulars and how they are going to make a difference in our world, what kind of difference they'll make here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, my guest, PMH Atwater. Stay with us.
Do your thoughts center on regret and resentment? Do you feel lost with all the joy drained out of your life? Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
Till I got married, 1913, when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Well, close. Yes, very swinging sound here in the Bilhart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again for the first time.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804.
That's the first thing that I ever heard.
Fast Forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Stewart, a certified appraiser of fine art and antiques, inviting you to join me Fridays at 10 a.m. for the Art and Antiques Radio Show, where we'll take your calls, evaluate your treasures, and talk with the movers and shakers of the art and antiques world. So please join us Friday at 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. and Sundays at 11 a.m. for the Art and Antiques Radio Show, right here at AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station.
Yes, and I do know how
New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thank you so much for joining us every Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time, streaming live on the internet at richarddugan.com. That's richarddugan.com. I want you to stay with us. We have a rather interesting program today. We are going to talk about a bunch of kids who are, they're not unruly as far as I know, and they're probably pretty well behaved as far as I know. But they're being referred to by my guest, PMH Atwater, as children of the new millennium. And first of all, how did you, with all of your work in near-death experiences, how did you come across this subject of the children of the new millennium?
Well, you know, in my research of the near-death phenomenon, I'm researching adults, and then I'm also researching children. Child experiencers of near-death states, and one of the things I noticed was the after effects of a near-death experience specifically for children was matching almost exactly what I was seeing in children who had been born maybe a little bit before, children who weren't very old yet, children who were just being born, and when they were a little bit older, I was looking at them, and I was finding that, wow, you know, isn't this fascinating that child experiencers of near-death states are very similar, if not almost the same, as the new children being born now. Now, when I'm talking about the new children being born now, I'm talking about those kids who came in around the year 1982. Now, you know, we can wiggle that a little bit, but basically around the year 1982. From then on, so now and ongoing, we're getting what we call the new kids. Now, the reason I'm not labeling them, I'm not calling them indigo, crystal, starseed, psychic, none of this stuff, is because you can take all of those labels and toss them. Then take the characteristics those labels supposedly describe, bunch them all together, and you have the profile of our newest generations. We just simply call them the new kids. If you're using labels like indigo, crystal, starseed, and so forth, you're really doing more harm than good. It confuses parents, mixes up the kids, causes all kinds of problems in school. It really doesn't accomplish much. Plus, you're sort of selling the idea of exclusivity when that's not what these kids are about. They're about inclusivity. And the labels just don't work. They just don't hold up. So let's take all those labels and kick them out the door and take a look then at our newest generation. And I do that in my book, Beyond the Indigo Children. I will be writing a sequel to that book next year. So there's just all kinds of information coming out now about these kids. We now have a lot of test results back, scientific queries and investigations back now, a lot of teachers, a lot of parents, a lot of kids. So we now have a lot to go on that we did not have maybe even 10 years ago. The book Beyond the Indigo Children still holds up, but there's a lot more information out. Now, some of that extra information I've got in my website, and my website is just myname.com, so it's www.pmhatwater.com, and you want to look for that segment that says Beyond the Indigo Children Extras. It's a free download. It's about 30 or 40 pages. It has a lot in it, name, address, phone number, you know, all kinds of information of where you can go, what you can look for, and all of that kind of specifics is in Beyond the Indigo Children Extras. So let's get back now to taking a look at these new kids because, you know, I get started on this, and it's kind of hard for me to stop. First of all, I want to say this pattern that they have, and we'll talk about that pattern in a little bit. And it's sort of like evolution in our time. It's like the human race globally is changing.
Mm-hmm.
We're having that quantum leap in the human family, and we're seeing it right now. And this kind of pattern, actually, you can trace it back to the time of Jesus. There were a few people then who had this pattern of behavior. They were this type of people. Not that many, but a few. All of the renaissances the world has ever known has had clusters of these people come in. In fact, a lot of that renaissance is really headed by or initiated by this kind of pattern of human being. And then we started getting rushes of them, waves of them, coming in the 1980s, especially around 1850 and after, into the 1900s, the fore part of the 1900s up to about 1921. And then we didn't see that many more till about the 1960s, 1970s, we started seeing them again. We've always seen a few of them, but mm-hmm. I mean large amounts.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm talking about 1982, that's when the floodgates opened. And we're getting mostly this type of children now, almost completely, not quite.
Mm-hmm.
If we keep going at the rate we're going now, then I suspect within the next 5 to 6 years, about 80 to 85% of the planet will be this type of characteristic. So what are we talking about when we're talking about their pattern?
Yeah, who are these kids?
Assets, liabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's look at the assets first. They're the smartest kids we've ever birthed. I mean, literally, the smartest kids the world has ever known in their recorded history. So we're talking about children that are just, wow. I don't care if they're flunking in school and can't spell. They're still the smartest kids we've ever produced. I just want to take a little brief aside here and say that, in the various testing that has been done with our scientists worldwide, and especially with IQs and the IQ test, that the various countries who administer that test are now noting, and that is that 30% of the kids who take this test, 30% of them are scoring between 150 to 160 and higher. They are now more intelligent than most of the greatest geniuses in history. And that's 30% of the kids. But one of the things that I almost forgot to say that I wanted to say is that when they were doing genome research and various other types of research, what we know now in the way of key brain-building gene mutations, suddenly there's been a jump in them. And it's our geneticists now tell us, as of 2005, so that was just a few years ago, 70% of the world's population evidences one of them, 30% both of them. And you're going to get that one-third or 30% a lot, because the real major, biggest jumps seem to be one-third or about 30% worldwide. So this is why we're getting this huge scores. The smartest kid in the world. I just want to assert this. They claim is in South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And he's scoring 210 on your IQ scores. I think a lot of the kids even score higher, but this one is claimed to be the smartest. But the interesting thing about him, his name is Kim Ong-yung, is that his parents were born on the same day at exactly the same time in the same city.
Wow.
I just said, it's a real wow. They were born on May 23, 1934 at 11 a.m. in Seoul, South Korea. And I just, it's of course different parents, but, it's like, here's this smart kid, super smart, and he's coming from this anomaly with his parents and their birthing. And, you know, this is one of the things we kind of, you know, kind of scratch our heads about. Our new kids are music-oriented. They are clever innovators and inventors. We've got kids, Richard, 5 years old, that are, you know, that are inventing things. And maybe by the time they're 7 or 8, they're actually making them. They're learning how to copyright. You know, there's a website. It's called bykidsforkids.com. I think it's just www.bkfk.com. And it's teaching kids of any age how to develop their inventions, how to copyright or patent them, and what to do with them. And this website is run by kids, and it's for kids. There's that many. The demand is that high by parents and children worldwide to find out what to do about their children's inventions. Can you imagine that? These kids are very creative. They're intuitive. They're psychic. Most of them can remember past lives. They're excellent with math, believe it or not. They're natural-born healers. They're natural-born entrepreneurs. They're completely irreverent. They're creative problem solvers. They're volunteer-minded, especially humanitarian projects. Spatial abilities. They're spatial learners. They're groupies. They can abstract at young ages. They're multisensory. These are kids that live in a multiverse, and they are multi-channelers. They have no concept of authority. They feel entitled. You know, I want to talk a little bit about this abstracting, because this is so important. Your abstractors are the ones who can think outside the box. These kids don't even see the box to begin with. I mean, there's no box to think outside of because there was no box there to begin with them. So they are really, they're really abstracting or coming up with different ideas and ways of doing things that completely flummox or shock their parents and their teachers.
I have to wonder then, if the current institutions run by adults are going to embrace them only because they're in children's bodies, and yet they could have the solutions to unlock and relieve of us of many of the problems or challenges that we're dealing today.
That's exactly true, but we have a couple of glitches in that statement.
Okay.
Number one, most of our educational systems, in fact, all of them, all of our curriculums in schools are set up for verbal learners.
Mm-hmm.
80% are set up for verbal learners. These children, 80% are spatial learners. So what's a spatial learner going to do in a verbal classroom?
Right.
They're going to get lost. We really, really, really have to redo our educational system or have extra classes maybe on the weekend or in the evenings, or we're going to have these kids educated by their parents at home. We're going to have to find another way of doing this. And a lot of the kids are being educated on the Internet. We've got kids in the 200s. They're that intelligent on these tests, way up in the 200s, that are so smart they can't be educated in schools. So a lot of them are being educated at home or via the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just remarkable what's happening there. But, you know, there's two other really big glitches. One of them is learning disabilities. 2 out of 5 kids today in our country, 2 out of 5 have a learning disability.
Okay, let me stop you there. Are you saying that 2 out of 5 actually have a learning disability, or they've been diagnosed as having one, but they don't really have one because that's just the way that they are?
I'm saying that we, meaning the various therapists and teachers and doctors, are classifying these kids as having a learning disorder of some kind. Now, 70% of those with learning disabilities, as you know, are males. So it's hitting the boys, you know, just huge waves of boys, not that much with the girls. If we look at these learning disorders differently, the kids say that they are learning, that they are ordered differently. Mm-hmm. They say, I'm not learning disabled or disordered. I'm learning differently. I'm learning from a different order.
Exactly.
And we're
that's my
finding
point.
Now that even autistic kids, and again, 30%.
Mm-hmm.
If parents will have their children take the Raven's test
mm-hmm.
for intelligence instead of the Wechsler IQ test. The Wechsler IQ test is the standard.
Mm-hmm.
That test crystallized intelligence, what we've learned. If they have their kids take the Raven's test, the Raven's IQ test, that test fluid intelligence, what we can learn.
Mm, interesting.
And if you have them take if you have the autistic kids take, or any of them on the autism spectrum, take the Raven's test, what we're finding now, again, that magic number, 30%, 30% of them are geniuses.
You know, this is extraordinary, and we're going to continue talking more about this because I find that our future may not be so dire as we have been led to believe by some, and we'll find out just about more about that in just a moment. I want to remind you, you're listening to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm your host, Richard Dugan. We're streaming live on the internet at richarddugan.com. If you'd like to tune in on the internet or tell your friends and family and whoever that you'd like to around the country or around the world for that matter, you can certainly do so. Go to richarddugan.com, click on the Listen Live link. We'd love to hear from you too. richard@richarddugan.com is my email, and let us know what you think of the program. You can also go to my guest's website, which is pmhatwater. That's pmhatwater.com. Get more information not only about the near-death experiences, but also about the Children of the New Millennium. There is a book that she has out right now, and of course you've also mentioned there will be a sequel coming out next year. We hopefully will have you back again. It also seems that we seem to have you back around your birthday, which was just last week. So I don't know, we'll make this an annual event, I suppose. I will say that as we continue our conversations and discussion about the Children of the New Millennium, that on the one hand, this whole aspect of standardized tests, whether they be IQ or anything else, to gauge anything about children or adults, when we all acknowledge that we're all different, we all learn differently, we play differently, we work differently, we sing differently, we create differently, and to create a test to kind of, you know, you said that the new children, they don't have a box to think outside of, and yet these tests seem to put us into a box.
Right. And of course, this is what we do as society, to have some way of measuring or testing things.
Sure.
And these new kids are just throwing monkey wrenches in all of our standardization because they either don't fit or they fight it. You know, these are the quick click kids.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ultimate consumers. They're very impatient. There is this underlying anger in them, in almost all of them. And it's not the kind of anger that we're normally used to. Rather, it's a kind of impatience that comes from being very frustrated with exaggeration or anyone who doesn't live up to or practice what they preach. These kids react to that. Generations before that didn't react that much. These kids do. These kids prefer the astral and synthetic worlds, social networks. They do not assimilate nutrition well at all. So you have to be really careful here with drugs, snack foods, processed foods, and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I think is so necessary that we know. With brain development, and I want to get back to abstracting, because abstracting, a person asked me a while ago what they think the number one talent is of this new crop of kids, this evolutionary push in the human family. And hands down, the number one talent is their ability to abstract. Let me give you a quick little example of abstracting.
Mm-hmm.
And this is little Michaela. She's like a year and a half old. By the way, most of these kids speak early. She's a year and a half old, and she's having this discussion with her mother, and she just gets so frustrated. And she puts her hands on her hips, and she marches up to her mother and waves a finger in front of her mother's nose and says very seriously, "I don't know the word for that yet." Now, how is a one-and-a-half-year-old going to know that they don't know the word for something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's abstracting. Let me give you another example of abstracting from my near-death cases. This is a little boy, 6 years old. He's in the Atlanta, Georgia area. And he died during the first grade, just a little bit before Christmas. He drowned. And they were able to rescue him and bring him back. And when he was finally able to go back to school, now let me preface this a little bit by saying first grade. Okay, first grade learner. So what do they learn in first grade? What do they read? See, Spot, Run. Dick and Jane, right?
Yeah.
So he gets a half a year of that. Then he dies, comes back, and when he's able to go to school again, this boy is reading mythology, and he goes, and Greek myths, and he goes up to his first grade school teacher, and he says to her, "Why was the novel Robinson Crusoe ever written?"
Hmm.
You see, he's conceptualizing. He's conceptualizing. Most people don't conceptualize until they're in their late teens or 20s. Some never do. This is a six-year-old that's conceptualizing. He's abstracting. That's abstracting. They jump ahead. An abstractor, especially with one with a clustered mind, will bring in information from 360 degrees. It all plops in the same pot, mm-hmm. i.e. the brain, and up pops information, insight, all kinds of material, and for the life of them, they won't know where it comes from.
But
it just pops up and they've got it. It just pops up and they've got it. These are the kids. Now, with this incredible ability that you were talking about that can solve or help to solve many of our problems, especially the big ones throughout the world, and some of these kids are doing it right now, this kind of mind that can think in very different ways, the kind of mind we absolutely need, that ability to abstract, what they have found in England, I think it was 2 years ago, they did a study of the kids in school. What they have found is by the time these kids reach puberty, 50% are losing the ability to abstract.
Mm.
That's a huge loss.
Yes.
And it's a huge loss for the future of our country. So they did for the future of the world, even. So they did a study of what's going on here. Why are they losing their greatest of all talents? And what they found was the culprit is, let's hear a drum roll, the culprit is virtual realities. Anything with a screen. So we're talking cell phones. We're talking iPhones. We're talking videos. We're talking DVDs. We're talking TV. We're talking computers. We're talking anything with a screen that gives virtual realities. The reason that is so dangerous is because because it directly interferes with brain development. Our brains are set up for us to physically learn things as we are doing them in real time. When we're watching a screen and watching somebody else do something, that robs our brain of the ability to learn how to do it,
mm-hmm.
or what it is, or what it feels like, or what it tastes like, and so forth and so on. So what they're now recommending is up to the age of two, no television, no virtualities, none. Can't watch them, can't be around them, none.
Wow.
Then after the age of two, you can have a little bit of exposure. And you can take that exposure and go, one step at a time until the kids reach puberty. Once they reach puberty, they can handle more of it. In fact, they can handle just about anything you can give them. But it's those years until they reach puberty that you've got to ration it out, whether you're doing it by minutes or by hours, however the parent wants to ration it out. You need to do that. And in saying that, I'm recognizing that right now in North Carolina, and I know this to be true because I have a daughter and a granddaughter there, in North Carolina, in their school system, they begin in nursery school teaching kids how to use computers.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, it's like, twang, what are we going to do here?
Yeah.
There's got to be some kind of wake-up call that says, these kids are social networking, they're Twitter, they're Facebook. They love the digital world. Of course they do. But somehow we've got to discipline that. Somehow we've got to set limits until they get older.
Yeah.
So there's got to be some discipline here.
To me, this is fascinating because it actually almost parallels some conversations that I've had with people just in general. It has nothing to do with the children of the new millennium or any other categories that we've decided we throw out those labels, but just kids in general that are going through the basic process of living and growing up in this society and this educational system, this governmental system, and so on and so forth. And that we keep losing a generation because we keep doing the wrong things. And we know better. We know what's better to do for them, but we don't do it. Because, this is the way we've always done it. It's that old ham shanks thing, why grandma was always cutting the ends of the ham off. Well, it's because it was the way that it fit in the pan. Get a bigger pan, you don't have to cut the ends off. Or stick it on a spit and put it on the barbecue grill. But, that seems to be the argument that, we don't want to go another way because we don't know if that will work. Well, we already know this way doesn't work, and yet we continue to go in that direction. And isn't that the definition of insanity?
Well, look, the harvest of this now, and this is now coming out in all kinds of the different studies, the harvest of this is we've got a generation here. And we talk with the kids from 1982, I'm going to say from 1982 till about 2002, and then the next group is coming in now. I call them the 911s, but this group from 1982 to about 2001, those were named the millennials by other researchers, in the other generational researchers, not me. But what we're seeing now, the results, what we're losing worldwide through the synthetic worlds, the virtual worlds, the digital worlds, and the way we're educating children now in school, what we're losing is concentration, depth of thought, and depth of language. And we're losing also comprehension. These kids are geniuses. They're smart. They're psychic. They're fantastic kids. They're creative. They're entrepreneurs. They're inventors. They're natural-born healers, for heaven's sake.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you don't even have to go to a doctor with some of these kids around.
Yeah.
I mean, they're incredible kids.
Yeah.
But look at what they are losing. Now, we can fix it. We can fix it because these kids respond to mentors, and they really need mentors. I don't care how smart they are. They need direction. Most kids do. These kids need it more.
Mm-hmm.
And they need more the kind of mentor who can really show them, not just tell them,
mm-hmm.
because they respond to that. You can rebuild the loss of abstracting. One of the things that I've noted with parents who do this, let's say, for instance, we've got a six-year-old or a seven-year-old that's on the computer too much, or maybe they're watching too much television. One of the ways that you can counteract that is through pets, any kind of pet, that they have to take care of that pet. They have to clean them. They have to wash them and feed them. They have these chores. They have chores. It'd be wonderful if they had outside chores as well. Get them with their hands in the dirt so they're gardening, so that they're learning textures and feelings and temperatures and liquids, where they're actually making things with wood and nails and hammers. And if you can get them in the kitchen, in the making of cookies, please don't use the standard cut-out cookies. Have the kids make the shapes in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're trying to do here is getting hands busy, getting feet busy, and giving them alternative worlds to live in where they can smell and feel and touch and have to figure out things. And they have to figure it out without running to some kind of slide rule,
mm-hmm.
or paper and pencil, especially if they're making something with wood and hammers and saws, so that they can figure out how to put in corners and they can figure out how to do this and that.
Takes them back to the abstract concept.
It takes them right back to abstracting. It rebuilds their ability to abstract, and all of a sudden their mind is freed, and the next thing you know, they're solving how to eat up motor oil on the side of a roadbed.
I love this. We've gone from the beginning of the program to nearly the end of the program. We've presented to you folks a problem that exists with these wonderful kids and a solution. I don't know how many other programs can do that. And I'm not touting that that's what we do here, but PMH Atwater has given us a pretty clear indication.
Well, I'm a practical person.
Well, there you go. We're going to come back in just a moment and wrap things up. We still have about 10 minutes to go here. And this is extraordinary. I'm going to ask you when we come back to tell us briefly what hope is there for those of us who were born in those other areas earlier than 1982. I'll ask you that when we come back. This is Tell Me Your Story. My guest is PMH Atwater, and you're listening to New Paradigms for a New World.
Restoring balance and joy to your life can be achieved by letting go of negative thought patterns and destructive habits. Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
You have a message that others can benefit from. A meditation to share. A talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present. A workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and Fast Forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.
Paris, London, New York, Oxnard. Wherever you want to go in the world, you can get there free every week on Around the World. Aired live on Thursdays at 10 a.m. and rebroadcast at 8 p.m. and again on Saturdays at 10 a.m. You can also hear Around the World on the internet at newspress.com. Buckle your seatbelts and turn on Around the World on AM 1290, the Newspress radio station.
Tell me your story. New paradigms for a new world. I'm Richard Dugan, your host with PMH Atwater, as we are coming rapidly, it seems so rapidly, to the end of our program. I want to find out from you, PMH Atwater, who has been sharing with us her ideas, concepts, and practicalities, as she said before, about the children of the new millennium, or the new children, if you will, just as a point of reference, and we're not labeling anybody here. What hope is there for those of us who may have been born in those other, shall we say, lesser target areas? I was born in 1960. I don't know if that's in there anywhere. And how does one find out if maybe they are part of the new children group, if you will, if that makes any sense?
Well, listen, if you fit the profile, I do. I was born in 1937. That means I'm 72.
Okay.
So, hey, maybe your great uncle was one of the new kids. So if you fit the profile,
okay,
you don't have to be just born in 1982.
Okay.
And on. There's lots and lots and lots of us that fit this profile. So we're talking about a particular type of jump or evolution in the human family that is worldwide, that has been coming on for really quite a while, but now we're seeing the floodgates open. And, you know, the floodgates begin to open, I believe, and most researchers believe, about 1982.
Mm-hmm.
I want to quickly get in here before the show is over.
Yes.
With some other recommendations.
Please.
Some of these schools are changing, like the one in Perth, Australia. What they did, they got rid of the term classroom. They now call them neighborhoods. All of the walls inside are movable so that they can have a different setting every day if they want. They invite the kids to talk quietly amongst themselves. They can whisper. They no longer recognize silence because for some reason silence scares the children, so they allow them to talk. They no longer use the term teacher. The teacher is now a guide. And just by making those changes and no more, they were able to alter the mistakes and the problem rate with the kids. Now it's 80% of them are doing wonderful work in school. They're just, you know, hardly any errors, and they're top of the class. 80% of them, just by doing that. So, you know, if we make little changes, that makes a big difference. I'm going to recommend three books.
Okay.
One of them is Upside Down Brilliance, The Visual Spatial Learner. So just remember, Upside Down Brilliance. It was written by Linda Silverman. Think of the metal silver man.
Mm-hmm.
So Linda Silverman, Upside Down Brilliance. The subtitle is The Visual Spatial Learner. Reading that book will help you understand these children's minds. Because remember, most of them are spatial. They're visual spatial learners. They are not verbal learners. Wake up, school systems. The other one is Little Big Minds. So remember that, Little Big Minds. And then the other title, Sharing Philosophy with Kids. It's by Marietta McCarty. McCarty is big M, little c, big C, A-R-T-Y. Marietta McCarty. Little Big Minds, Sharing Philosophy with Kids. It is her feeling, her proof, because she's been out there in the fields, in the school systems, doing it. Start philosophy classes in the sixth grade. I think she's saying, I'm saying, and a lot of other people are saying, start it in the first and second grade. Certainly by the fourth grade, we must have philosophy in grade school, because these kids are wise beyond their years. They look at all this stuff that's happening in the world, and they want to talk about it, and it's our job to listen and to guide them in this discussion. The other book, and I'm going to just take this one and put it up in neon lights, is The Secret Spiritual World of Children. And it's by Tobin, T-O-B-I-N, Hart, H-A-R-T, The Secret Spiritual World of Children. It is the best book written in modern history, perhaps in all history,
mm-hmm.
on what really happens in the children's minds, souls, and hearts, their spiritual life. It is just all kinds of little exercises in that book for the kids, the parents. It's mm-hmm. wonderful for parents, for teachers.
Yeah.
Best one ever written.
Well, we also encourage folks to pick up your book,
New
Children, The Children of the New Millennium. It's available through your website,
PMHOutloud.com. Well, The Children of the New Millennium, I'm sorry, is a dead book.
Okay.
It was
very quickly
deleted by the publishers
mm-hmm.
years ago.
Okay.
So you want Beyond the Indigo Children.
Beyond the Indigo Children. And then you have a new one next year.
You also want The New Children and Near-Death Experiences.
Okay. And very quickly, the International Association for Near-Death Studies is having their conference in San Diego October 16th and 17th with a special healing day on the 15th. Go to IANDS.org for further information. PMH Atwater, I want to thank you so much for joining us again on the program.
Been so much fun. We got to do it again.
We will do it again, definitely. Stay on the line. I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you for joining us here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I hope that you will join us again, and I hope that you will tune in every weekday, every Saturday. Love to all.